Hey, got the morning show with Aaron, and I'm going to fade that music out. Introduce Nat. Welcome to the studio, Nat.
Oh, hello. How you doing? Morning.
I'm doing all right. Yourself?
Yeah, not too bad actually.
Nat is our careers advisor.
That's better.
For Raglan and Whangaroa, Raglan Community Radio.
Well, one of them, not the only one that lives in our blessed little town.
Oh, there's more. If you want to sit and relax, bring the mic back to where you are.
Okay.
There we go.
But then I look like I'm lying down.
Well, no, you don't. We do one of those sessions.
No.
How are you feeling?
How are you feeling today? Well, it's a little wet outside, so.
Yeah.
I quite like it though. I quite like this weather. Not all the time, but every once in a while.
Well, it's quite good. We're going to have it today, and then tomorrow it's going to be fine again.
Yes, so awesome.
So we've sort of concluded off the air that we're going to talk about advice for people who are struggling to get back into the workforce, because I imagine there's a few people like that at the moment. You're meeting a few people like that?
You know, maybe the idea of the job search just not being as straightforward as they'd expected, you know, much longer. Much harder. Yeah. Definitely seen an awful lot more of that, of people kind of going, I hadn't expected to be kind of in this position.
Well, the government fired tens of thousands of its workers, so you're going to get that.
Yes. You are going to get an increase of applications when there are more redundancies happening around, and a lot more, I suppose, for employers to choose from, because a lot of those people that were made redundant are, you know, all of the people that are made redundant are obviously, you know, skilled, capable workers that, so lots more people applying for the same kinds of roles. Yeah, I think it's just a bit tough out there as well, you know.
But if you are one of those workers fired by the government, you can just go back and work for them as a consultant.
I don't know if that's the case.
Isn't that what happens?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
No, that's not official advice.
I just think there's been a tightening across the belt, and obviously we're all pleased to hear that our healthcare can keep their Milo. So,
I'm not paying attention.
No, don't. But it's that kind of stuff that you sort of think, really? But, I'm not going to say
it's a distraction.
I quite like having a Milo at work. So
it's all distractions.
Yeah.
I mean, it's mean spirited, and they're trying to push those buttons of mean spiritedness to get support.
Mm.
If from what you're saying, and that certainly would be in keeping with what they do.
Wow.
So we've got currently unemployed people whose spirits are low.
We do
coming to see
actually.
You and others.
We do, and it's very disheartening, I think, to put all of the effort, and there is a lot of effort that goes into job applications. I think that is It's a very disheartening process to go through when you hear literally nothing back.
Yeah.
You know, you might have got the automated response, thank you very much, we've received your application. But to hear nothing back repeatedly is very, very frustrating and very disheartening. And they're just some of the words. I mean, I have a list of demoralising.
No, so we don't need to hear them.
You know, it's raining enough outside. Let's not make it rain indoors too. But I just think, so how do you keep going when it feels like you're bashing your head against a brick wall or screaming into a void? So
I feel something else I brought up before when we were figuring out what we're going to talk about is that when you're unemployed, you feel like you have to act the part, like you have to act like you're ashamed because you know you're letting the team down.
Well, again, that's a perception. I don't agree with that. I think with what you're saying. I do understand.
People feel that way.
Very isolating. And but I definitely don't feel like, you know, not being in employment, I don't think that's a letting down of anything. I think that's a really unique experience. And I think probably, one, obviously people who aren't in employment don't want to continue to repeat. And certainly not if they've, I mean, I've been speaking with people recently who are like, you know, I've been on sort of 70,000 a year and then it's nothing. This is a huge, huge impact.
I mean, they're on the dole, I hope.
Well, yes, but
that's,
you know,
that's
the,
very
you know,
close
it's basic,
to nothing.
It's a basic means, isn't it? It's not.
Well, it's less than what you need to live on.
Mm.
Like it's been.
Again, that's a big conversation for another time, but it's an exceptionally difficult way of living, especially if you have been in full-time employment. And for want of many, many reasons. You know, we find so much of our identity is for what, for, you know, this idea of it being a right or wrong perspective, which again is something that's very ambiguous. So, you know, but we should be in employment. And so there's so much about our identities and our, like you mentioned, our sort of value in community and in society that's placed on that. So how do you keep going when you're not hearing anything back and you're not actually feeling especially connected to what's happening around you? Because maybe you don't have the funds to go out and do those things. Maybe you just don't have the energy because it's, like we said, very all-consuming when you have lost. We go to work for 40 hours a week on average, you know. So to suddenly not be in employment, to be isolated and at home, and I'm thinking about a conversation that I had only yesterday with a young person in Hamilton who was like, you know, I don't see anyone. Like, I'm, you know, I'm in my house. My house, his words he used, which I found really kind of, he said, my house has become a prison because I'm in it all the time and I'm on my own and I'm thinking, what can I do next? What can I do next? So, you know, so always, always, always it's about a structure for me with regards to your job search. I think it's a daily activity because there's lots of different ways of looking for a job. We don't necessarily have to just single in on the Seek Trade Me job board scenario. There's lots of different options for investing time in every day into it. I think definitely reviewing every application individually, you know, with the context of if I was to do this again, what would I do differently? You know, how could I improve? And maybe what did I miss? I know that's part of the same question, but if you are looking at it from a different seat around the table, you will see different things.
Yeah, yeah. So just put yourself in the position of the person
reading,
looking for stuff.
Reading, yeah. You know, and this is something else that I also say to job seekers. This is the hard truth of it, that actually the application process isn't about you as a person. It's about an organization, and they have a problem that they're looking for a person to solve. They need a new employee. So it's a business transaction. It's a business process. But for you as the individual, obviously, it's very, very personal.
Mm.
But that's the hard part, isn't it? Because you maybe put 2, 3, 4 hours, maybe more than that, into an individual application.
Yeah.
Right? For there to be absolutely nothing on the back.
And you were talking before, too, about individualizing.
Oh, absolutely.
The applications.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. You have to, you know, my analogy here is, do you use the same implement to cook with? Do you use the same implement to do all the jobs in your kitchen? No, you don't.
So don't use the same exact CV.
The same exact CV. And if you are unsure as to how to structure a document that will respond to a job advert accordingly, get in touch. Because I could talk to you about it, but we have only got half an hour.
Yeah.
And so it's not a simple process, but it is a process all the same. So once you understand how to do it, it's something that you can apply to every application that you make. And there's also about this concept of meaningful application. Like, why are you applying for this job is question that you could well be asked in a job interview. You know, why do you want to work here? What is it about what we do and how we do it that makes you want to come and be part of our team? You know,
and so the answer is I need money and I'm desperate for any work.
You know, well, yeah, like I mean, possibly you can't, that could be an option to respond. I don't necessarily advocate for the fact that that should be your only answer. It's definitely one of the motivators for going to work. We're all realistic in that.
Yeah, you can say like realistically, yeah. I need a job.
Well, realistically, I want to come and work for you because I've got a lot to offer. That's the reality of it.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, absolutely. I do believe we go to work for money. I mean, it might not be all of our driving factor.
No.
Right? But it's a great byproduct from employment. Yeah.
A byproduct.
So it's obviously our contribution too.
Yeah. And another thing, and the way I'm talking, it sounds like we had an hour-long conversation beforehand, but this was all done in a couple of minutes.
Yes, because we're very good. Aaron and I are very good at talking.
Yeah.
We hadn't guessed.
We had to discipline ourselves to talk about the actual topic in hand. But one of the things that we also briefly touched on then was, because we're talking about how you can get demoralized and you feel like you shouldn't, you shouldn't be seen enjoying yourself while you're on the dole. But it is a time in your life.
It's a very
is what
unique,
you're saying.
It's a very unique time in your life. Time in your life. And I think if you could give yourself the structure of, I know on a daily basis I'm contributing to my job search.
Yeah.
Then actually you can also be looking at what is it that I might be able to do with this time. Because that can also be sort of the enemy of the job seeker, that they become somewhat less invested in the job search and more invested in other things. But I do think that the other things is a way of keeping you motivated, right? You know, there's lots of opportunities for free learning spaces online. If you haven't got access to, you know, broadband and internet at home, and obviously if you are working with work and income, that can be some of the things that get reduced very quickly because they're expensive. Libraries are your best friend, you know, and there's a lot of free learning online for hundreds of different skills and capabilities. You know, like there's so much you can learn. I don't honestly believe there's anything you can't learn.
Just Google it in your way.
EdX is a great tool if you're thinking about upskilling in the context of your work. YouTube for, I don't know, you might want to learn some fiber art or some, you know, like.
But I also think it's time. It's a good time to indulge a passion.
Yeah.
Because this is where this job started from.
Yeah.
I don't think I was unemployed when I started here as a volunteer. I wasn't unemployed. Yeah. But I did have. I made some time to make this work.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was a passion. It wasn't anything I did because I thought it would lead to a job.
No.
It did lead to a job.
It did lead to a job. And that's another great, you know, is there something that you've always wanted to do, or is there something that you've always been kind of good at? You know, I talked to,
how
to increase their income
when but they're not working. Saying, but what I'm saying, though, is about the passion, not because there's a 1% chance it'll lead to a job in 10 years. It's just you've got to have your passion as well.
Yeah.
And if you've got... And you've got lots of time when you're unemployed.
Yep.
And you're a human being and you deserve to enjoy something.
Absolutely.
During that time.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you don't know where that's going to end up. You really don't know where that's going to end up. You made me think about some very unique employment, well, not unique applications I've been involved in that have evolved from something like that.
Yeah.
And it was to do with pest eradication of all things. And this person had been like, I got involved in this because it was a passion of mine.
Yeah.
You know, this is circumstances have changed. I'm now seeking employment. In an ideal world, I would. And we kind of looked in the ideal world and actually made a very specific application that they had all the skills for. And because they'd invested in free training and participated in volunteering events, they actually not only had the expertise as in knowledge expertise, but also the practical examples of them doing exactly what this job wanted them to do.
So what sort of area had they come from?
Oh, I can't remember what their I think it was some sort of business ownership, and then total circumstances completely changed, and then hadn't been working, and then had been getting involved in like this kind of dock work, you know, the volunteer dock work, and off they went.
Yeah, and because I think this is one of the skills you have is drawing out. The person will come and say, all I know how to do is business. And you'll be like, well, tell us what you – just tell us about your life. I don't know if this is exactly how it plays out. But then you draw out, look, you've got this skill. Obviously, you're working with people in this outdoor environment. You've learned how to do this.
I mean, it's what else is there? I use analogies a lot. I think, you know, they help to explain. If you are – you know, applying for a job within the profession that you have built skills and expertise. My analogy there is you're like a basketball player. Bang, 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 you're taking your shot. If you're thinking about doing things different, you are a netball player. And you have to move, you have to pivot with one foot on the ground. And that foot represents the skills and capabilities that you take with you that enable you to be the player, the whatever it is in whatever occupation that you do. And when you're looking to change, it's about the idea that maybe you developed and demonstrated those skills in that profession, but they actually were the capabilities that helped you to be that effective employee. And you can do that in any profession. So we talk about that. And there's nothing within a job application that isn't hand in hand. Like if you have a really good idea of what it is that you would like to do going forward. And again, I had a conversation the other week and this person was like, you know what I would really love to do? Is, you know, hang out with seniors, with older people, weaving, doing crafts, and just kind of like just being with them. That's actually something that I would really, really love to do.
Mm.
And I said, oh, have you ever thought about being an activities coordinator in a residential home?
Yeah.
She said, I didn't even know that job existed.
Yeah, right, there we go. Right? Yeah.
And then we looked it up, and it wasn't just like, you know, we looked it up, and in job adverts, they tend to have this, you know, ideal candidate criteria. I think we can all resonate with that phrase, you know, experience required, or ideally you would have, or, you know.
Yeah.
And we literally looked up a job advert on Seek and went, oh, yeah, have you got – and we ticked every single box, and this person was like, wow, I'm going to go away and think about that. Mm. And then the idea is if there's one role, who else? So who are this organization's competitors? If there's one residential home with an activities coordinator in it, what are the other residential
homes
doing?
And there's plenty of residential homes.
So then all of a sudden your job search is about what's going to motivate you. These are obviously examples that we're giving here. What's going to motivate you? And then maybe there is one job online. So then you have to do your homework and find out that other people, you know, using online resources like Google to find out, let's use the example of residential homes within the area. You then understand what your commute is going to be. You understand who they are, what they do, because most places advertise now online. their business profile, so you can find out a little bit about what they do as an organization and do they align to the kind of values that you have for yourself. And you can be directly approaching them, and that based on a CV that you have created to suit one application, because you're the basketball player in that respect, bang, bang, bang,
yeah.
You can use that same. If you're then talking about skills and capabilities, you can do things like keyword searches and actually search for roles on Seek using a keyword search, which is in the what section. It actually says keywords. And you could put in helping people, for example, and actually use that system to search through the information in the job advert and find a whole heap of jobs that have got the term helping people in them, for example.
Mm.
And you'll be surprised what comes up. So you're learning about the labour market, but you're also learning about what motivates you as an employee, which is helping and preparing you to complete a CV, helping and preparing you to, you know, have that job interview. And remember, number one golden rule is that you are applying for the opportunity to find out more. You're not actually applying for a job.
Right.
Right? You've got to go and meet and understand and ask questions and engage in the process of being interviewed.
Interview them. We've talked about this before.
Mm. But it's a mutual relationship, isn't it? You as the employee, they as the employer.
See, all my experience of applying for work was in my 20s and teens. So, and I felt very powerless at that time.
Mm.
And it was just like, please give me a job, any job.
If you were a young person considering employment and you're not sure what to do and you're not sure where to go, A, you can reach out to any of the career practitioners that are on the Direct Career Service.
It's
free.
Yeah.
Or you can be looking at particular services designed for rangatahi, for younger people, and there's lots of them around. But I recommend going to places like Young Workers Resource Centre. And that's really going to give you a bit of an idea how to navigate this change into employment and how to manage that idea of employment.
Because there's a whole bunch of people just finished now, right now as we speak. Last exams happening.
Yeah. And well done, team. You made it. You did it.
You did it. And now it's like,
you take a big deep breath.
And I actually, to be honest, I recommend a break.
Yeah, I mean, there's some sort of facts around that, but I'm not.
Or maybe just a month or two even, you know, but
I think we all have fond memories of that summer after the exams, you know, and you get that weird sensation that you should be doing something, but there literally is this space where you haven't got anything to do. You don't have to go to school, you know, and if you're not working, then that last summer before adulthood or university or whatever. That's not really adulthood, but you know what I mean.
I don't remember a lot of adults. So even amongst the staff, I was a little bit lacking at times.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I just think all we have realistically is today, is this time, is this. So how are we going to invest this into something that we would like to do for our future, right?
Mm.
And job searches are exactly that. Like, it's a daily pursuit of something that you would like to be doing going forward. Are there activities that you like more or less than others in the workplace, in the everyday life? Is there a way that you can increase your income, like you said before, by taking opportunities that you might not have been around to take had you been in employment? So you've got to look at this as a really unique time, a really unique way of exploring options that you never considered before, but also not necessarily giving yourself about a hard time.
Yeah.
Certainly not with redundancy, which I think is probably one of the hardest forms of entering into unemployment, because there's not a lot of choice around that matter, is there? You know?
Yeah. And I think, and if you're one of the government workers who got made redundant, you're going to actually get sympathy from about 50% of the population.
Oh, I think more than
don't,
that.
Who don't like the government, right? They're going to be, oh, those pricks, you know?
Don't get me started.
No, I'm just saying those people will get support.
I think everybody will give you, I think there is more support out there than you think. There's absolutely more support out there than you think for people that aren't working. Because, you know, before COVID, one in four New Zealanders had experienced redundancy. I mean, that's not even...
At
some stage over there. Yeah, I think... Mm. I can't remember if it was in the last 10 years. Yeah. I mean, I've worked with somebody who's been made redundant from the last four jobs they were in. I mean, that's no fault of their own.
Is it the career they're in?
Well, or the industry that they worked in. So the industry that they worked in had funding. That funding was pulled. Service gone.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, they have to navigate and pivot and do all of those stuff. But, yeah, I mean, they didn't choose not to have that job.
Yeah.
You know?
And I do think, I think it's important to have, just to have, back to what I was saying before, enjoyable things going on in your life.
Yep.
Just so you're a little bit, like, you don't want to walk into a job interview and you're basically in a mopey state because just everything's depressing. Like, you want to go out and enjoy yourself and bring some of that energy with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Rather than fake it or not have it at all. Hi.
You want to be disingenuous or... But again, that's that real... If you are prepared for that job interview, firstly, if you're in the interview, they know you can do the job, right? So they're actually there because they want to meet you. Second rule of thumb for any interview is everybody in that room has also been where you are. So nobody wants you to fail. You know? That's the reality of it. Everybody who's sitting across from you in that interview room has been exactly where you are and can empathize with you. And the hope is that you are in a room full of decent people that... You know, we're also looking for decent folk to join there.
Yeah.
That makes sense? You know, like nobody's there to trip you up. Yeah.
I just like the perspective shift you gave, because I said before about how, like, you know, my 20s, which was the only time I was, like, applying for jobs, I felt powerless. And just your spin on it is that as the interviewee, you should be interviewing them as well.
Yeah,
saying what are you guys about?
A little bit more about it. You know,
I want to know if you're worth working for, or if there might be someone better than you.
Yeah,
don't say that.
Well,
but have that view.
Yeah, and the idea is, it's not just one job. It's not like, oh, I'm going to find this job, I'm going to apply for this job, I'm going to wait 2 weeks until I hear back from that job. No.
Yeah, don't do that.
No. We need to. You know, if you found one job, let's keep that. Although you do get,
I've heard people, they're like, oh, I think I've got this job, but also might have this job, and I don't know.
Great. Go through the decision-making process. It's exactly when you need to be talking to a career practitioner. We can give you heaps of resources and, you know, to help you make those decisions, because that's something that's very personal. But again, if you've gone through the process of understanding why you were applying for that job, then you're going to be able to compare your opportunities as they arise.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And also remember your unique value. Like, everybody has something that they bring, and the golden light of who you are is that.
Is part of your job counseling people that they're a worthwhile human being and they've got something to offer? Like,
well, I think that's just part of my human nature, as I genuinely believe.
But I can see it necessary for people this time. Yeah.
I mean, I think career work is hope-filled work, and I like that concept. That's one of the reasons I was drawn to it, because actually, you know, by shifting a perception, then it can actually make a massive difference in somebody's overall
kind. So you're seeing people get jobs all the time?
Not as often as I like. It's been a bit tough, let me tell you, the last few. But yeah, I see people, and I get those phone calls, and I get those. And sometimes, you know, I've worked with people who've gone through not every career transition is the same. You know, some people I've worked with over a year. So I can appreciate where people are coming from when they're like, I've made multiple applications and it's a year later and it's not happening. You know, so in those circumstances, we've also had a little cry about the success, because bloody hell, it's been hard fought, you know.
The thing, I can't help mentioning this, the thing that bugs me is that there's been concerted efforts to create unemployment over the last couple of years at the government level in order to keep inflation down, and then using the job market to soak it up. And
it's
that's
an interesting
very,
perspective.
It's very, very clear.
Those two go hand in hand.
Yeah, and I guess it's kind of worth mentioning, like, that thing about it's not a reflection on you necessarily that you're out of work.
No.
Unless you got the DCMs.
I mean, unless you turned around and gave your boss your single finger salute and you're like, I walked out of there because, or maybe that was the reason I got fired, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you get told why you've been let go, and it's because you did something really stupid.
Yeah,
but
if you were working through a redundancy, it is an exceptionally difficult process, absolutely. And like I've said at the beginning of this conversation, I think it's one of the hardest ways to navigate. Because in a redundancy, your role has been made redundant, not you.
Mm.
So everything that you do still had value and was still adding value, but that's just that. Your role has been made redundant. So again, it's that mind shift. It's not me that's been made redundant. You know, and like employment, it's part of what I am. It's not, it doesn't define who I am.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? But we've got to go, because we've got our musician here.
So, folks, we've been talking to Natalie Sims.
Someone far more interesting than me.
No, I always enjoy these discussions. Natalie Sims, career advisor, consultant, expert, specialist, practitioner.
Expert.
I know.
Career
practitioner.
That word. Lots of us around. 35 of us working in the direct career services, which I always forget the number, 0800 222 733. I think direct career service, just Google it. If not, pop onto Career Tree and you will find my details on there, and I will be able to, you know, support you or refer you to another service provider. Don't do it alone, because you're not alone.
0800 222 733.
I got that right, yes.
Well,
top of the class.
All right, Nat, thank you for coming
in. Thank you so much for having me. Kakite.